Brother Mike Church presents Flashback. Sinful things that were happening 20 years ago. Saturn the planet becomes Saturn the car. Cheers turns off the open sign. And Bill Clinton tests out the bed of his El Camino.
I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false.
Let's hope and pray no one will ever confess those sins again. The Mike Church Show, preaching and teaching from his abbey while living here in the present on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Welcome back. It's Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network.
When my baby smiles at me, I go to Rio de Janeiro.
At 844-5-CRUSADE. You see, you people, you can use the phone and call this show. It's nothing to be afraid of.
Now, I'm not the kind of person with a passion or persuasion for
dancing. I want you to listen to this story here. Seattle University Anti-Racist Coalition occupies dean's office and demands her resignation. I really don't even want to do this story because it's so... I got two stories left that I want to do. We know what the word is. You won't believe the story when I get to the part to certain parts of it. By the way, visit us at VeritasRadioNetwork.com and click on the SOS button at the top of the page. Folks, just because May the 11th has gone, come and gone, and because you're still hearing me here, I have not done the performed the evaluation just yet of where we are and where we're going. Now, something good is happening here. But please do not abandon your efforts to make to join Veritas Radio Network as a member or to upgrade. Look, if you're having trouble upgrading using the member mouse system, all you have to do is call Maggie O'Connell, 866-483-3833. Leave a message on the Grasshopper, and she'll call you back. And this is simple. If you just leave your email address on the message, right, Mag? All you have to do is leave your email address that your account is linked to and what level you want to upgrade to. And it'll take exactly 40 seconds for us to go in and issue you a checkout link that will upgrade your account at VeritasRadioNetwork.com. It's as simple as that. You just go and check out, and bam, you're all good to go. So please consider that. But you may have noticed over the weekend, I issued a few new advertising memes. I found an old ad from Sony for the micro TV that they came out with in 1972. And I took the, you know what my daughter Madison said to me? She goes, "Danny, that's very ad men looking." I never watched that show. I don't know why she's watching that show. But that said, what, in the 60s? You watched it, Maggie O'Connell. What's the guy's name? Dave Draper? Don Draper? Don Draper, right? It is very retro advertising, but read the meme. The meme is actually funny. As a matter of fact, I'll read it to you. So I took the Sony text and just put Veritas stuff in there. And I just changed the TV copy that the advertising agency for Sony made. And then I took the television out. We photoshopped that out. By the way, I'm doing all these graphics now. So another thing people could do is volunteer their time. We are getting a lot of volunteers, or several people have volunteered to assist us in our efforts. But on a Saturday, which was an entire workday for me, I did this, and I got the radio advertiser. If you want to buy radio ads, there's a brand new page up there. It tells you all about it. You can download our rate card. Radio advertising, the way it should be, is simple, straightforward process. We'll make the commercial for you, the whole nine yards. You won't believe how cheap it is, how inexpensive it is. Help us expand. We want you people in business to be part of this crusade channel. We're the hub. We're distributors here. We're going to act like it. We're the hub, and we can do things. We have a broadcast signal here, and there are many people that are coming to it. So let's work together. But here's the ad for the meme. This is the personal radio predicted for the decade of the tens. So light and compact, you can carry it with you like a book wherever you go. Put it beside your bed, on your desk at the office, outdoors for picnicking on the patio, in the back of the car, or on the boat. It plays anywhere on its own rechargeable battery pack or AC adapter with a sound so bright and clear, ordinary radios pale by comparison. Weighing only 1 pound, it is hardly any larger than a Pop-Tart, yet it outperforms standard radio receivers in sensitivity and true sound. Available only in limited quantities, Veritas brings it to you today through which advanced research in the Shoutcast transmitter. So powerful and sensitive, it is used only through computers and other advanced electronic equipment and the new Crusade channel. It would be no exaggeration to say that someday all radio will sound like Veritas's Crusade channel. But why wait for someday? See it today. I should say, hear it today on selected app dealers. Veritas Crusade channel. List, price, free. Optional app, $1.99. And then there's the meme that goes alongside it. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. If you'd like to take me up on that kind, benevolent, beneficent offer, the use of these final moments of the show here today. Love to hear from you. Here's a story that I was referring to just a moment ago. Joining a wave of campus activism around the Seattle region against alleged racism, a group of students at Seattle University have begun an occupation of their college's front office, complete with pizza, pillows, and Beyonce's Lemonade album playing over speakers. They say they won't leave until Jody Kelly, the dean of the humanities focus Matteo Ricci College, resigns. Now, you have to get the punchline to this. Fitza Mohammed, a 22-year-old senior majoring in humanities, said the tensions have been mounting for months for a couple of reasons. First, racism and sexism are especially acute at Matteo Ricci because the humanities curriculum is based heavily on Western canon and European classic literature. I got to ask the question, why did you go to the school then? Did you idiots not know what they had for curriculum? Folks, this is insanity. By the way, this particular school is... May I read you the punchline to this? The students calling themselves the MRC Coalition seem to support the professors as well, citing the college's Jesuit tradition and the Vatican Council's Pedro Arupe. The coalition condemned the college's refusal to offer tenure or support collective bargaining for instructors in an open letter addressed to Kelly last month, published in the Seattle University student newspaper. Let me see if I understand these poor, wayward, imbecilic souls in Seattle at this Jesuit college correctly. Actually, it's a wing of Seattle University, or a part of it that is Jesuit, allegedly Jesuit, which Jesuit today means allegedly Catholic or formerly Catholic. I say that only partly in jest. Let me see if I understand this. So you went to a Jesuit Catholic university, and you looked at the curriculum before you went there, and now you demand that the university's dean resign because she has stuck to the teaching, the curriculum that you signed an intent letter to go study. and she has stuck to the Jesuit tradition that you signed an intent letter to go study under. What's wrong with this picture here, folks? You see, what's going on in America today, ladies and gentlemen, is that Americans have completely lost any attachment, most Americans have completely lost any attachment whatsoever to reality. They have divorced themselves from evidence. And when you are impervious to evidence, that story that I'm reading is what happens. Now let's ask the question here. It's a safe bet that if you decided that you're going to go to a part of the Seattle College that they had a Jesuit-based tradition, then it would have Jesuit Catholic-based curriculum then as well, right? That would imply some of these kids must therefore have gone there so they could say they went to a Catholic university. If that's the case, please explain to me then, where is the Catholic part here, and why aren't they defending it? Because their complaint has nothing to do with Catholicity, for heaven's sake. This sounds like just another I am a bored American college student, and I demand something to complain about. And you're going to listen to me, and you're going to give me my way. I have a suggestion. Why don't we just ignore you? Here, why don't we send back to you the letter of intent that you signed when you decided to attend this university and tell you, why don't you resign, you punk? Why don't you leave this campus, you twerp? Why don't you, since you're the one that has changed your mind about the curriculum, why don't you go across town to where all the non-racist, transgendered, abortifacient, guzzling college students and faculty are? They'll welcome you with open arms. You can party, you can do this, you can abort, you can fornicate, you can do all of that. You can do everything. But you're not going to do it here. We think that since you paid the tuition to come here and you paid us to actually construct a curriculum that had Western civilization tradition built into it, we think we should actually deliver that. And you know what? We're going to do just that. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoy your fun ride across town, because we're not doing anything to accommodate you. And if you don't leave in 2 minutes, we're actually going to call the campus police and we're going to have you arrested for trespassing. Thank you very much. Enjoy your trip to Seattle University and the other campus. Bye-bye. But you see, folks, the administration won't even stand up. Wow, we have to respect their right to protest. No, you don't. You run the institution, for heaven's sake. Folks, everywhere you look, the inmates are running asylums. We're letting children that are confused and have a mental sickness called gender dysphoria, we're letting them determine policy on who gets to go in a bathroom and who gets to go into a girl's room and who doesn't. We're supposed to be the adults here. We're supposed to be the ones that say, no, you're not going in there. Finally today, I'd like to play you this brief clip here. Let's see, it's on my Facebook page. This brief clip here from the Benham Brothers. All of you know the Benham Brothers. Here, listen.
What Obama said today, but they're basically mandating all public schools in the entire nation that we have to open up our bathrooms, especially girls' bathrooms, to boys. Even if there's not a force of law behind that, the fact that the Department of Justice and Obama and Department of Education is doing this, it's leading us into absolute chaos. Here's the interesting thing. You guys remember the movie The Dark Knight, when the Joker is hanging off the building and Batman is holding on to him, and Batman's like, what do you want? And the Joker just says, chaos. Well, that's what we're experiencing right now. And what you need to know is that the issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution. back last summer when it was the Obergefell decision with the Supreme Court legalizing gay marriage, that was never the issue. Today, having transgender folks go into bathrooms, that's going to open up a loophole for deviant men to go in and prey upon our women and girls. You know, that's still not the issue. The issue is the revolution, and the revolution is chaos.
Yep, he's
and this
right.
is what it is. It's that, you know, the enemy wants nothing more than to destroy not only marriage, but he wants to destroy the family. He wants to destroy you individually. He wants total and utter destruction. And that's what we're seeing taking place right now. You know, and the only way to have chaos is for you to have either bad laws or no law at all. And these, we're starting to see some bad, bad laws. You know, when law is based on a subjective standard for people's comfort instead of an objective standard for people's safety, then chaos is the only thing that can ensue.
So I decided to let Jason speak on this one. So you did a good job, Jason, my brother.
He never lets me talk.
The devil comes to rob, kill, and to destroy, but Jesus comes that we may have life and have it to the full. Now's the time for us to turn to Jesus as a nation.
Yeah, we need.
All right. All correct as far as it goes. I have no disagreement with it. As a matter of fact, I commend them what they said on the Facebook page and at MikeChurch.com. However, when you say Jesus makes law and when you say that the devil has come to overthrow and to undermine marriage and family, no, wait a minute. Like our friend D.C. McAllister, you're participating in the undermining. There is a magisterial moral code. We can know it, and we can repeat it. Now, look, we're all fallen. This is not, by the way, this is not a chastisement of the Benham brothers. Well, I knew you were going to go off on them. I'm not going to go off on them. I'm simply pointing out what ought to be painfully obvious, or what should be obvious. Steve Cunningham, immediately after I posted this, Cunningham posted this meme, Hilaire Belloc. Now, you heard the word chaos from the Benham brothers, right? Okay, what do we do about chaos? And there is chaos. I talked about it on Friday. I said on Friday's show, it's anarchy. We have anarchy now. We have the inmates running the asylum. We have students out there thinking that they run the faculty. We have students out there thinking that perverted boys, sex star boys, thinking that they can bully their way into girls' rooms. And they have the force of law, now the Obama administration, and anyone that can get in front of a pollster saying, yeah, that's a great idea, we ought to do that. We have anarchy. We have chaos. In 1918, Hilaire Belloc was, who did a couple of terms in the House of Commons in England. He was a Frenchman, but he's one of the greatest historians of the early part of the 20th century. Hilaire Belloc was asked a question about the chaos that was Europe at the time of World War II. And Belloc, very matter-of-factly, who always answered questions matter-of-factly, said this in part. Well, how are we going to repair Europe after World War II? Here, Belloc, quote, after World War I, rather, quote, there are only two alternatives for society, Catholicism or chaos. If it is not to be chaos, if Christ is not to abandon us, then Christ must reign. And if he is to reign, he can only do so if we, who claim to be his disciples, restore him to his rightful throne, close quote. I found another Belloc quote. Here the firm believer in the church's teaching authority, the devoted women. That's not Belloc. This is Belloc. To begin with, the Catholic case has gotten over the footlights. It has pierced intellectual Europe today, is again aware of the one consistent philosophy upon this earth, which explains our little passage through the daylight, which gives a purpose to things and which presents presents not a mere hodgepodge of stories and unfounded assertions, but a whole chain and body of cause and effect in the moral world. It is further becoming apparent that there is, as yet, no rival in this respect to the church. There is now no full alternative system left. John Harden, 1998, quote, "Here, the firm believer in the church's teaching authority, the devoted servant of the papacy, the convinced pastor who insists on sound doctrine to his flock, the dedicated religious who want to remain faithful to their vows of authentic poverty, honest chastity, and sincere obedience, the firm parents who are concerned about the religious and moral training of their children and are unwilling to sacrifice generously to build and care for a Christian family, natural or adopted. Such persons will not be spared also active criticism and open opposition, but they must especially be ready to live in an atmosphere of coldness in their deepest beliefs." So it's like Chris Ferrara said once upon a time on this show here. And I try to be as prudent and say these things with kid gloves as best I can. That and with generosity and charity for all. Look, I see this very simply. And I see, and it always bothers me that others don't see it so as simply. And that's this. There can't be all these, you can't have plurality in moral teaching. This is the point of human existence, to conform our mind to the reality that it defies, it just defies the entire arc of religious and Christian history to say anything other than what I'm about to say. There was one God who said, "Let there be light," meaning before there was, he said that there was no light. Why did God need light? Well, he didn't need light. He knew what he was. It only makes sense. There was one creation, one act of creation, not 38,000, one. There was one God who promised a Messiah. There was one God that King David, Holy David, wrote of about the Messiah and the prophets wrote of. There was one God who gave one set of commandments to Moses. There was one God who had one son and sent his one son to earth to relay the missing pieces of the moral code and to provide a way of living for his one people, the human race, to live under. It only makes sense that there would be one teaching. You and I don't get a vote on it. I don't get to vote on it. I either accept it and obey it or I don't. But it is singular and unitary. It cannot be plural. It defies the entire arc of religious history and of Christian history. That's it. Why there is such disagreement on this can only be explained by pride. I'll close with this, my friends, my beloved friends. Delictissimi in Latin. Delictissimi, dearly beloved. I'll close with this. The one sin that will get you kicked out of heaven. What is it? What is it? Pride. It's the one sin when Lucifer and his minions say, "Non servum," I will not serve. The one sin, pride. It is the sin we must all guard most against. And being on guard against it, folks, it is a life's work. It is not, this stuff is not easy. It's, which is why I used to say on the old station in the old country, sin is easy, faithfulness, pursuing the truth and living it is hard. It requires us to take vows of poverty and things. It requires us to forego wealth in the material world. It requires us to forego the approbation of our friends and family. It requires us to suffer joyously the coldness that Father Harden wrote about in 1998. It requires us to do what John Smeaton spoke of earlier today when I was playing that in segment one and segment two. Go download them today as part of your download. It requires us to do things that the world, the secular world, says we probably shouldn't do if we want to be popular, if we want to have friends. Well, I say that there's a different popularity that we should strive for. How about being popular among the communion of saints? How about being popular among those devout souls that say, yeah, it's up to us? That's a popularity that can actually have positive impact here in this horrifically, yet still beautiful, fallen world of ours. Class dismissed. All right, folks, one more exhortation, please. Join us by going to the VeritasRadioNetwork.com website today, downloading our apps, becoming an affiliate, becoming a Founders Pass member, making a cash donation, volunteering to do some work around here. Look, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. Again, I implore you, get your tickets to our live event Wednesday in Philadelphia. It's going to be a gas. Don't miss it. For Maggie O'Connell and young Christopher Warshower, it's Mike Church saying so long. We'll see you here tomorrow. Stay tuned for a new episode of Reverse Deception in 50 minutes here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be. God bless and Mary keep you, brothers.